The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Most people don't realize this, but it was in the 4th century, the 300s, in the church in Rome that the feast of the birth of Jesus began to be celebrated. Until then, as in most Eastern churches today, the principal feast of the Christmas season is today, the Epiphany of the Lord. As Christianity became legal and then became the official religion of the state, there was a movement to replace pagan feasts with religious feasts. And in those days, the winter solstice was celebrated around December 25th. And it was called the Feast of the Unconquerable Sun. Imagine in those days, the ancient peoples, they would see the days getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and they were wondering, is it just going to continue to get shorter until we're in blackness? And then suddenly the days start to get longer and longer. They called it the Feast of the Unconquerable Sun, S-U-N, and the early fathers of the church loved to work with this title and say it was the Feast of the Unconquerable Sun, S-O-N. Anyway, it was Constantine who wanted to replace this pagan feast, and Christmas became the custom. Right after Christianity became legal, there's still in the church this rule that said you could only celebrate one mass in a church every Sunday. I think for us that would be like a nightmare, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine like you could only celebrate one Sunday mass per church, but that was the rule in those days. So they had St. Peter's and they had the Basilica of St. John Lateran, which was the bishop's church in Rome. But people started turning out for Christmas so much that they had to build a whole nother church just for the Christmas Mass. And that Mass was celebrated at midnight, and it was St. Mary Major, Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome, which became known as the Christmas Church in the 4th century. Well, I have a few thoughts on this Epiphany Sunday. We hear in the first reading, "Rise up, Jerusalem, your light has come. Glory shines around you." But in reality, what happened was the opposite, wasn't it? Herod was greatly troubled, it says, and all Jerusalem with him. They were troubled by the event. He assembled those who were in power and asked where this was to take place, and they all seemed to know the place, Bethlehem in Judea, but they didn't know when. And they were struck with fear, wondering, is it now? What threat does that introduce to our power? So Herod begins to plot against this new king, not even knowing who he is, using the foreigners who come from the east to do his bidding. The second thought, the story depends on foreigners entirely, on non-believers, magi, the same root of the word magician. They were astrologers, probably, because they were following stars. They might have been Zoroastrians or Hindus. Those were the two religions in existence at the time of Jesus. There may have been more that we don't know about now. Jerusalem was a major trade route, and certainly many Hindus were present in the city. I always found it odd that Jesus never mentions these other religions. But later tellings of the story identified the Magi by name and identified their lands of origin. Melchior, who hailed from Persia. Gaspar, also called Caspar, from India. And Balthazar, from Arabia. But I've always sort of done this homily based on the fact that God chose pagans to do his work. And I think that as I thought about it this year, that's not really accurate. He doesn't choose pagans to do his work. He chose everybody because everybody can see a star, right? Not only pagans can see stars, everybody can see the star. And they knew that the prophecy was out there somewhere. So he chose everybody. But unfortunately, people were not paying attention. It was the people from the East who were the ones who were paying attention, apparently. But the reflection I'd like you to have today is that anyone who is on the right path seeking God is on the right path. Not just Catholics, not just Christians, but everybody who's truly seeking God is on the right path. Whoever they were, it was the practice of their pagan religion that led them to Jesus. They were watching for the signs. Their religion did not cause them to be excluded from God's plan. Rather, it was almost a collaboration. You don't see Pharisees and scribes coming to the birthplace of Jesus. There were, however, some poor shepherds whose religion was unidentified in Scripture. And after all this happened, it was God who, by way of a dream, spoke to them and told them not to return to Herod. My third reflection is today that they were not just curious people. They came a long way at great expense, and they came with gifts, and they were valuable gifts. They were overjoyed. They prostrated themselves. That means they got on the ground in front of Jesus, the baby, and they offered him treasures. Their gifts had special symbolic meanings as well. Gold signified Jesus' status as king. Frankincense represented the infant's divinity and identity as the Son of God, and myrrh touched upon his mortality. Gold was a gift for a king. Frankincense was used in the temple of worship in the Holy of Holies, signifying Jesus as high priest. And myrrh was the burial perfume to anoint a dead body. In Jesus' case, he died for the sake of truth. Therefore, he was a prophet as well. Priest, prophet, and king, a revelation which came to us in the Catholic Church from pagan origins. The point here is that Jesus came for all of us, not just the chosen people. This was a universal revelation. So on this day, what does Jesus demand of you that will upset your comfort and autonomy in your own life? Regardless of where we are in our life, are we among those who are paying attention? Do you believe that God can find you wherever you are and change you? Many of us come from afar. Do we come bringing our gifts? Or are we just curious onlookers of this scene of the child and his mother? Like all feasts of the Lord throughout the year, this one is about us as members of his body. In some way, we are revealed today in him. And bring our reverence and generous hearts to wherever Jesus makes himself known.